Norway made international news this week by imposing what Reuters is describing as a near ban on AI tools in elementary school settings. The policy applies to children in the early grades, and the reasoning from Norwegian education authorities is essentially developmental. They're concerned that outsourcing cognitive tasks to AI during the formative period when children are building foundational reasoning skills could have effects we don't fully understand yet. The Hacker News discussion has nearly 500 comments, which tells you this hit a nerve.
The comment thread is a fascinating cross-section of opinion. You have teachers who are deeply relieved, technologists who think the ban is misguided paternalism, neuroscientists making specific developmental arguments, and parents who are genuinely uncertain which camp to be in. What's interesting to me is the policy framing. Norway isn't saying AI is dangerous. They're saying we don't have enough longitudinal evidence about what happens to children's cognitive development when they use these tools during the specific developmental window of early elementary education. And until we do, the precautionary approach is to limit exposure.
The developmental argument is actually grounded in real research traditions. There's a substantial body of work on how the acquisition of reading and arithmetic skills involves building neural pathways that require effortful practice. The struggle itself is part of what encodes the capability. The concern isn't that children will use AI to cheat on a worksheet. It's more fundamental. If a child never has to work through the frustration of sounding out an unfamiliar word, are they building the same reading networks? We genuinely don't know the answer to that in the context of current AI tools, because the tools haven't existed long enough to study cohort effects.
From a policy design standpoint, I find the near ban framing interesting. It's not a complete prohibition, it's a highly constrained permission set. Norway has consistently taken a precautionary approach to technology in children's environments. They were early movers on restricting smartphone use in schools as well. This is a country with strong social trust in regulatory institutions and a willingness to act on incomplete evidence when the potential downside involves child development. That's a different policy culture than you'd find in the United States, where the default tends toward permissive until proven harmful.
Let's connect this to the GPT-5.5 hallucination story, because it's directly relevant to the Norway debate. The piece from aerotex.dev presents data suggesting GPT-5.5 hallucinates at roughly 3 times the rate of GLM-5.2, which is an MIT-licensed open-source model from the Chinese research community. The Hacker News community is engaging with this carefully, because the methodology of comparing hallucination rates across models is genuinely tricky. Benchmark contamination, task selection, prompt sensitivity all affect the numbers.
But if the numbers hold up, the implication is striking. A flagship commercial model from one of the most well-resourced AI labs in the world is generating factual errors at a rate 3 times higher than a model available for free under a permissive open-source license. The HN thread is debating whether this reflects an optimization trade-off, whether GPT-5.5's other capabilities come at the cost of factual precision, or whether it represents something more structural about how the model was trained.
The LLMs Are Complicated Now piece by Ian Barber ties directly into this. It's a relatively short post, but it's making a point that the HN community has been circling for months. The landscape of LLM capabilities has become genuinely difficult to reason about. A model that's better on coding benchmarks might be worse on factual recall. A model with a longer context window might be less reliable on the specific tasks that fit in a shorter window. The clean narrative of bigger model equals better model has fractured, and we're in a period where the capability topology of these systems is complex and sometimes counterintuitive.
John Jumper, joining Anthropic, is worth flagging here as well. Jumper won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 2024 for his work on AlphaFold, the protein structure prediction system that transformed structural biology. His hiring by Anthropic is a signal about where that company wants to position itself. This isn't primarily a move about language model capabilities, it's about scientific AI, about applying the techniques that made AlphaFold work to other domains of scientific discovery. Anthropic has been building in this direction with interpretability research and structured reasoning, and having someone with Jumper's scientific credibility and track record changes the research culture in ways that are hard to quantify but probably significant.
The Zen and the Art of Machine Learning research post got over 260 points and generated a rich comment thread. It's a reflective piece about the psychological and epistemic practices that actually produce good ML research. Patience, tolerance for uncertainty, the discipline to distinguish between a result that's exciting and a result that's meaningful. Given how much pressure there is to publish rapidly and generate impressive benchmark numbers, there's something almost countercultural about a well-received essay arguing for slowness and depth. The community clearly resonated with it.